Doing all right?
Doing well, thanks.
How you doing, Coach?
Good, thanks.
How is Drew Brees different from Tony Romo?
Well, I would say, geez, that's a hard one to answer. Look, they're both very good quarterbacks, and every quarterback has a style. You could compare them all in a lot of different ways. I'd rather just talk about what Brees does, because I think that's more relevant. He is, first off, he is definitely one of the top guys in the league. He's extremely smart. He's very accurate. He's a playmaker all the way. He makes everyone around him a better player, which is exactly what the guys like Peyton and Tom do, you know, Brady. They all make everyone around him very good. The stats all support everything he does. You know, they're number one in a lot of things. Some of the things that he was good at in San Diego, I'll say, for example, the red zone, their number one red zone. I believe they were probably in the top three, if not number one, when he's at San Diego. So it says a lot about who's pulling the trigger. It has a lot to do with what you are in the red zone. And he's been good in that area for a long time. And I think if you listen to Tom Brady talk all the time, he always mentions when you get in scoring zone, that's what really, you know, has a lot to do with how good a quarterback is. So that's those are some things he's good at. And, you know, other than that, you know, there's really not, there aren't really any negatives to speak of. Not that you asked, but you really don't see anything that's, he doesn't have too many flaws.
He really is. One thing John Abraham's always said, having to play him twice a year, is the guy's footwork is miraculous to a certain extent, that he will just take that one little sidestep to avoid pressure, and that's all he needs. And it's tough to get him down.
Yeah, it is tough to get him down. One of the things that he has that some other guys have, and that is he's got great pocket awareness, and he'll move without, it's almost like, how did he feel or see that guy? And the good ones kind of have that ability to, whether it's to step up or to move to the left, move to the right, to avoid it when a guy's coming. He's really not looking. The good ones look down the field. They're trying to throw the ball down the field. They're not thinking about all the stuff going around them, but they have an ability to kind of move where the pocket allows them to get, to stay alive. And he does do a great job of that. That's probably a little bit of what Abe's referring to is, Abe can be coming right for him and thinking, I got him. And then the guy will just move up, and it's like, he didn't even see me. Now, how could he do that? And so he's very good at that.
What's it like to defend those big targets he has, Marcus Colston and Jimmy Graham?
Well, I'd rather they all be midgets. Or excuse me, I don't say that. That's small people. But he look at, they're good players. It's, we've been facing a lot of good players each week. I almost find it funny sometimes when they say who we've faced so far. My goodness, we've faced a few good ones. At least we think they're good, and this is another challenge. But these receivers, again, for their own specific reasons, they're very good.
Is it more difficult when you talked about Brees in the red zone? We have big targets like that, even if you have guys covered, because they can jump and they have.
If your guys are big, no. But if your guys are smaller than them, yes. And in our case, as you well know, and most DBs in the league are much smaller than some of the top, the top receivers in this league are all, not all of them, but a lot of them are big guys. Whereas the corners, even your top corners, typically aren't more than 6'1", and they usually don't weigh more than 200 or 205. So, you're giving up a little size disadvantage there. But so it's true. I mean, that's, whether it's the tight end they have in Graham or Colston or any number of guys, those two guys in particular are big targets.
They always say turnovers come in bunches, takeaways come in bunches and whatnot. Haven't had any for the last couple
of
weeks.
And when you don't have them, they come in,
right.
they come in empty
zero,
baskets.
Zero, right. But obviously the team is still doing real well in turnover margin, but just the last couple of weeks, there have been some chances maybe to get some takeaways, but something you're concerned about, I would think.
Well, I am that we haven't gotten them. Last week we had the one, and then we had a penalty on the same play, so we had to give it back. But no, you always want to pay close attention to it. You don't want it to become a trend where you're not getting any. And the last 2 weeks we have not gotten any. And you don't want to. You'd like to win by getting them as well. So all I can really say is the fact we won both, is kind of a credit to our players and on both sides of the ball, for that matter. The offense has also been stingy with it, which is good. So that helps us. Now, if one side falls off, as you well know, whether the offense begins to give some away and we don't get it back, then that's when you typically start losing. But as a team, they've done a good job, So concerned a little bit only because we haven't gotten in a couple of weeks.
You played your first game without Spoon. What'd you like from your linebacking core, and what'd you like about the run defense going into a game where they are playing, at least last night, running back by committee?
I didn't like not having Spoon. Didn't like that. But I did. I thought that Akeem played a good game. He did. He played a good game. He did a nice job. The atmosphere, Sunday night, Dallas Cowboys, a lot of noise, a lot going on, didn't disrupt him. He was very much into the game. I was really pleased. You know, his coach, Glenn Pyre, said the same thing. And, you know, he just said he was very, very much into the game and in tune with things. So I was impressed with that. I thought that I thought Nick did a very good job in the game. You know, he took the charge of the tight end and did a nice job. I was pleased with that, as we all were. And then Mike P came in and had a few snaps and did a decent job. You know, he had one missed tackle. But other than that, you know, he was ready to play.
And what do you think about the Saints, at least last night, they're running back by committee where they used a bunch of backs in different scenarios?
I was impressed. They got good backs. I know Sproles was out last night, saw him on the sideline in the cast and all, but they got very good, you know, they got a good stable of backs. I know the one they drafted in the first round, the Heisman Trophy winner and all that, and he's a good back, but the others are very good. I have not had much experience with Ivory watching him. That was the first time I've seen him, and, you know, he's a very capable guy as well. So they got a they're explosive. I don't know what I need to say. You know what I'm saying? You guys see it as well, and they're exciting to watch. Very good offense. They've got a – it's by committee a little bit at the running back right now. But it's a good group.
And the production from your D-line, Babs and a lot of those guys, when the Cowboys were down in the red zone, obviously you don't want the Saints in the red zone, but the production they were able to come up with, talk about some of the things that made them successful and what you want to have.
That made our guys, our defensive line successful?
Your defensive line successful.
Well, I think the rotation right now we have going on is good. It's nice to have Corey Peters back. He helps us a lot on the inside. We're a little bit disappointed that PJ, you know, has got banged up in the game, and we'll see what his status is going forward. But other than that, Babineau is an outstanding player. You know, he's really given us some flexibility to move him around a little bit. You know, he's one of the most underrated guys I've really ever coached, to be honest with you. He's a hell of a football player, and he's, you know, from an unselfishness standpoint, you know, he's done everything we've asked. You know, he's moved around a little bit. They talk about Croy. Croy's moved around. We got a great group of guys from that standpoint. You know, I think they've done a nice job. I really have. I think they've done well.
And do you take suggestions from the suggestion box from the guys who have been here for a while and some of the things they like to do?
There's a suggestion box?
I don't know.
Somebody said there was? I need to go and check inside there.
Things they might think would work against Drew Brees, or I know his offensive line is a little bit different. But.
You know, look, I'm big on talking to the players about things when they have experience of playing guys, because the game on the field really – there's a game within a game, as people say, and the players are the only ones that can really express that to you. And some guys know what that game is, and some guys are just pups and they don't really know what's going on half the time anyway. But guys like Babineau, Abe would be a good one. Those two guys I know by experience would be guys that will have some you know, they'll say something to me. If not in passing, or I'll ask, which I typically do each week, just kind of they're put in enough situations one-on-one with me and their position coaches as well to, if they have a feeling about something, they always know it's kind of an open, you know, say what you think. You know, if I agree, great. If I don't, or if there's something I can help you with, great. If I can't, then we'll work around it. You know, we'll find ways to do things. So I know the guys feel that they have an ability to at least say what they think to try and make for a better game plan.
All right. Appreciate it, Coach.
Okay, thank you. All right. See you. Thank you.